If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, I'm happy to be back with you, and I enjoyed my vacation, and I thought I was actually down at the Capitol most of the time when I was looking at the bears and the lions and the buffalo and you just the coyotes. I was at one time I started calling them by name. You know, hey, how you doing, Senator? No, just kidding. But I had a wonderful time, and I would encourage any and all of you to go up to Yellowstone. The National Park Service is doing an awesome job. And it's our heritage and the respect for the animals, and that's a place where the elk and the buffalo get to walk the streets, and you have to wait on them. It's the signs that says animal crossing, but they cross at their own pace. So it was an awesome. I got to experience some cold weather again, and that was a shock. But anyway, and I really want to thank Jan Weinberg, who sat in for me for 2 weeks there, and I listened to the show while I was over there traveling through Salt Lake and what have you. And just I'm really proud that I know people like Jan, and there was many people that participated in the show, and hopefully you learned something or have a resource where you can go if you ever find a need for that. I hope that it helped, and we'll do much more of it. Now, getting back here on the pavement where we deal and discussions and what have you, and today I have Mr. Carlen Ross, that's K-A-R-L-E-N, Ross, and he is running for State House, District 17, Hawaii Kai. We don't hear much from that because, you know, let me make sure that I extend an invitation to Mr. Gene Ward, who reluctantly or refused to ever acknowledge it, even an email, when I would, in fact, write or inquire or try to reach out to them. So equal time, equal air time and what have you. But I felt that let's reach out and see what's happening over in that district. And we get quite a few comments that from that community that they are really not receiving representation. And I'll leave that up to you to decide that. But Carlin Ross is he's endorsed by the AFL-CIO, HGEA, ILWU, Local 142. And because Carlin knows that unions are the backbone of a strong middle class. So thank you, Carlin, and welcome aboard, and let us hear where you come from, what you do, and what some of your visions, and why are you bothering to get into this thing called politics? You know that it's a rough world out there?
Oh, it's a rough sport indeed. Thank you, first, for having me on the air. It was a real pleasure to get your call, and thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason I got involved was, I grew up in Hawaii Kai. Mm-hmm. I'm from there. I'm a Kaiser grad, class of 2001.
Okay.
I went to the mainland. I earned a business degree from the University of Arizona. I was a former small business owner. I was a co-owner of a popular diner out there. And then that's when I met my partner, Corinne. We had a child. We have our daughter. And we were deciding where did we want to, take her. Do we want to be closer to her family in Oregon or my family here in Hawaii? And we ultimately decided to come home. And I wanted to raise her in the same neighborhood I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And so earlier this year was the presidential preference poll. We went to that, and we stuck around and volunteered to be members of the local Democratic Party, just at the grassroots level to have people more involved in just the community.
Right.
Then the state convention came along. Corinne went. I stayed home and watched our daughter. And that's where she found out that District 17 was not going to have a Democratic candidate this year. Gene Ward was going to get a free ride into the legislature in this year, where I don't believe any Republican should get a free pass.
Or any politician.
Any politician, for that matter.
But specifically, that district out there and the needs that that district faces.
I think that when you have multiple candidates, even if it's in a Democratic primary, it makes people learn more about the issues. It makes people more involved. It makes people ask questions. And mm-hmm. I think I'm a firm believer, informed electorate is the best thing that our society and any society really can have. If you understand what are the issues, what are the decisions that need to be made, and looking at it from all angles, not just a simple partisan angle, but really looking at what are the ins and outs, what are the nuances, and what can be affected by pieces of
mm-hmm.
legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Originally there was no candidate. They tried to talk her into it because she was an attorney. But what she said was, I'm not from here, I just moved
here. And who is this?
This is my partner, Corinne.
Okay.
They originally tried to talk her into it. But she said, I'm just not from the neighborhood. I don't know Hawaii Kai. But I can ask Carlin and see if he'd be interested. So the next day I went down. I met with some of the local party leaders. I met with some just people in the community. And I told them about myself, my background. And I said, listen, I've never done anything like this before. And I don't want to jump the line. I just wanted to volunteer. But if no one else is going to do this, I'll do it. I'll give it a shot. So I had a week to pull papers, get the signatures. I got in right before the last day. I had a week to put all this together.
Right.
And then
mm-hmm.
Putting together a candidate committee where you have to, in order to accept, fundraising and get a bank account, that was another ordeal that took a few weeks. And then learn about policy, learn how to, put together a flyer, learn how to, meet people in the community. It's been a real uphill learning curve, but
mm-hmm.
At this point in the election, I feel very confident. I feel really good about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've made some observations in some of my experiences. While I don't live in Hawaii Kai, mm-hmm. as a taxpayer and as a citizen of the state, and this being a position that is within the state house, so I find it that it's difficult reaching out to speak to Gene Ward my issues are, you know, valid. Mm-hmm. My concerns are valid, and my concerns about what's going on in the area of Hawaii Kai, the Mauna Loa Bay, all of those things, environmental concerns, and then the LGBTQ issues, and we'll talk about all of this, but not having a home there or being a constituent of that specific area, I'm still finding myself coming up short because he is unapproachable. And that, he being Gene Ward, in my experience, and that's not to speak to your campaign or anything. But
sure. Going on the campaign trail, I've been accused of running negative on Gene Ward. Mm-hmm. I feel that if you call out a person's record, what they've done in the legislature, how they approach their constituents, I don't feel that's a really negative at all. I've never attacked him personally. I've told him to his face, I've never met you. I know your record. That's pretty much it. I find many parts of his record troubling, as do many people in Hawaii Kai. I've heard of, you know, he prides himself on his mailers about being approachable. He does public appearances on occasion. But I've heard from people going door to door that they felt that it was basically lip service. It was like, okay, I'll look into it, and that's pretty much the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can say this. I've spoken with, you know, many legislators who are currently in the Capitol, and, you know, they agree. They, you know, would like to do business with someone who's a little easier to work with, that there are other Republicans within the House right now who they can do business with, out in Eva, up in Mililani, that it's not just a Republican-Democrat thing. It's really they just don't want to do work with him. And if you look at how he acted last legislative session on the floor, I think the spirit of what he wanted to do, a protest against not receiving enough funding for DHHL, a valid point, but that's not how I would personally go about it. I think stomping your feet on the floor of the House is not really productive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I think that doesn't speak to working with others to find common ground and a solution.
But what had he done for DHHL prior to this? I was suspect of what was transpiring in that, the way he presented himself and challenging the system and complaining, while there are many other issues that have been before us relating to DHHL, and he didn't deliver.
You know, I really couldn't say. I've done a fair amount of research into his record, particularly on areas where he and I differ, particularly environmental issues, social issues. But as far as his DHHL, I honestly don't know.
Now, speaking of environmental issues, where you two differ is, can you give us some examples, or just superficially or specifically, if you want?
Sure. One of my big talking points when I go to door is, you know, I'm a huge believer in rooftop solar. I think that it offers quite a few ways to help just homeowners. First, it lowers the overall electric bill, which of course puts more money in your pocket. I have a hard time believing the electric company when they say that it's too hard for us to incorporate rooftop solar into the existing grid. You know, as a utility, we're always going to have the electric company. There's always going to be a demand for a central grid. But what's unique about Hawaii's energy grid is, unlike on the mainland, if your grid starts running out of power, you can't just borrow or buy energy from connecting grids. We're on our own. We're on an island, you know. So there will always be a place for the electric company, as it is. But we really need to be able to incorporate rooftop solar into the grid and bring back those tax credits for people. And that offers immediate relief, as I said, the lowering your energy bills, lowers your tax burden at the end of the year, and most importantly, brings us towards that 100% renewable energy goal, which I think Hawaii truly can be the first in the nation to do this.
Yeah, now, keeping that in mind and putting Gene Ward on the side for a moment, we must be realistic and acknowledge that much of this undoing of the solar, or the refusal of the placing in solar, or the proliferation of solar panels above roofs, has a lot to do with the Democratic Party. Now, how will you approach that? Do you have any, because Gene Warden may be the left shoe and the right, on the right foot, but the problem is it's the David Egays, the Senator Gabbards, and all those people that just wouldn't stand up and speak like with thunderous voices to encourage. Instead, we went south on it. So how are you proposing to, or are you aware, or have you expressed concern or being concerned that you were going to be challenging the
established
people,
order?
The established order, yeah.
I'll say this about the Democratic Party in Hawaii today.
Mm-hmm.
I think that any organization, I'm not just saying the Democratic Party, any organization should be willing to have a sense of introspection and look to what is it that we're doing that's great, what is it that we're doing that we can improve, and what are the needs of our constituents. In the Democratic Party's case, I think you could look at what happened this year, starting at the presidential preference poll, and see that there was a huge swelling of new Democrats, progressives,
mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders fans, and it worked its way into the current party apparatus. You know, we have people who are, I got distracted by the phone call. there's a real desire for a new generation, and so many people in the party are retiring, so many new faces are showing up, and I think that's a really good thing that the new faces that are showing up respect the past and those who have laid the groundwork before us, but are also willing to challenge the status quo and say, listen, I'm coming from a constituency that believes in this. I've said that that I will not be a rubber stamp yes Democrat. I will look at ideas based on their merit. I will look at ideas on how can we get this done. Is there a compromise that can be reached? And that's what I believe the best part of government is when we work towards consensus. Even with, as they say, the single party, we have one Democratic Party.
Right.
There's groups within the party that have different constituents and different needs.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have the same, I think, moral belief that we want to do the best for the people of Hawaii. We want to do the best for our constituency. And what's the best way that we can all bring our ideas to the table? Let's put together a plan that can, if it's incremental, if it's maybe this idea is not good, but we like this part, what are the things we can do to work together? So that's how I would, that's my approach to governance.
Well, we're getting phone calls, but my guest, this is a Carol Cox show. My guest this morning is Carlin Ross, and he's running for State House District 17 in Hawaii Kai. Will, you want to entertain a couple of questions?
Yeah,
or calls?
Sure.
Let's
sure.
see
Put
if they. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
What up, Carol Cox?
Yes, what's happening? You got a question for Mr. Ross?
Not really. I wanted
okay.
to say hello. I remember when the NFL...
Okay. We'll talk football later. I'm interested in right now the Cubs and the Dodgers.
You know, I'm a Giants fan. That was kind of heartbreaking the other day. But I think at this point, well, I mean, I certainly don't want the Dodgers. I'm rooting Cubbies all the way at this point.
Exactly. So, yeah, call it the wrong time, wrong game right now. We're trying to focus on some serious issues, you know. But... the 524-1080 is the number if you have questions for Carlin Ross, and we will go on. Now, Planned Parenthood, I'm looking at your walking brochure, and let's go through this, and if you could, rather than trying to guess at what you're going to do, how about Planned Parenthood? And it says here, because Carlin believes everyone deserves safe and affordable access to reproductive health care, STI testing and treatment.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a man,
mm-hmm.
I had to learn a lot about Planned Parenthood. You know, I know many women in my life mm-hmm. Have used it. For some women, this may be the only time they see the doctor
mm-hmm.
over the course of the year. You know, they offer pap smears. They offer. As I said, reproductive,
mm-hmm.
particularly, birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I think that should be in the hands of anyone who wants it, and without restrictions on what time they can get it or having, I just, I find it bothersome when we start having conversations like this because I think it should just be a given.
It's their right.
Right, it's their right. Yeah. So, to me, the endorsement from Planned Parenthood was huge because, you know, as someone who really, you know, I'm trying to think how I can best describe this. It was actually in business school. I had I went to a speech, and one of the people there I met was this woman. Her name was Susan Butler, and she wrote a book about how societies, how they treat women, and the place that they put women in will be a major factor in how that country will be positioned in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as far as, you know, men and women's equality, I think there's still quite a ways to go. But I think that it comes on us as men to recognize, hey, what are my own prejudices? What are my own perceptions of working with women in the workplace, women in authority?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's those are fair questions that we all should ask ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it creates a more just society.
Mm-hmm. And going out, campaign finances, I mean,
yes.
I'm sure in speaking with you briefly, you have grave concerns about financial influences of campaigns and what if, so can you share them?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I first want to say that I signed on to voluntary campaign spending limits. Every district, every race in Hawaii has a number that was given by the election commission of how much money that a candidate volunteers, I will not spend this much money. I think for my district it was $21,000. It was roughly $21,000. And I can say from my own experiences running my campaign, you know, when I have flyers, I have signs, union made signs,
mm-hmm.
I have union made mailers. You know, $21,000 is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of the fact that my campaign, primarily financed by individuals, I have received support from the unions, very generous support, because I do share common values with them and. You know, it doesn't hurt Gene Ward's no friend of theirs. So, I think the biggest obstacle we have right now in government is we don't have enough accountability with lobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
I think that at best it's bad optics when you are accepting meetings and money from lobbyists while the legislature is in session. I think that anything that erodes public confidence in our government hurts all of the good things that government does, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If one department, I won't name any specifics, but just in general,
right.
if one department does something unethical, it affects a different department because it makes people think that all of the government must be in on it or every legislator must be doing something unethical.
And that act by that agency can do several things, one of several things, and that's violate due process,
mm-hmm.
violate the, you know, that person's rights to access to government records or anything. It could be that, but one bad step or one lie leads to another, and it has a chain reaction, and then we go away, and I'm one of those characters that conclude that government is fraudulent in many instances when it's not.
Right. It's at its core, I mean, government is here to do a service for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I got involved in the first place, was that I think that when you have, you know, when you have new people join, you get to have it's a brand new player. It's a brand new person within the system that's here. Here's the things I want. You know, it's a good argument for term limits. You know, I've mm-hmm. gone kind of on both. I've seen both arguments for it. My view on term limits as part of this is, you know, the thing about the legislature is they have to be reelected every 2 years. The problem is that you create this perpetual cycle of fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And the money, I feel, is the bigger issue necessarily than how long somebody's been in office. Because how long somebody's been in office goes hand in hand with how much money they can raise. You know, in the case of my opponent, Gene Ward, he's never stopped fundraising. He
mm-hmm.
ran unopposed in 2010 and 2012
mm-hmm.
and never stopped fundraising. And he's probably going to outspend me by tens of thousands of dollars by the end of this race,
mm-hmm.
realistically. But I don't believe money should be the deciding factor of who gets elected. It should be a contest of ideas.
Right.
You know, and so anything that can better offer, how am I looking to phrase this? Anything that offers more transparency and more accountability of who is giving money, when are they giving money, and what type of legislation is coming up. I think the more informed the public is, the better.
Carla, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comment.
Hi. This might not be on the subject that we're talking about right now because I've been on hold for a while. But I wanted to find out what Mr. Ross's views were on some of the things that are of concern to us that live here in Hawaii Kai. Right now, there's a permitting process being done for putting reef balls.
Oh, memorial reefs.
Into the memorial, exactly.
Yes.
Into a 7-acre area into one of the bays. And I'm wondering about your opinion and your views about how we can stop all of the construction that's happening within the bay. Right now, some of the dive shops are already putting statues under the water. You can get the coordinates from some of the dive sites they're advertising. You can go and have like a bust of yourself or your loved one made and stick it. There's no regulation whatsoever in what's going into the bay. So I'd really like to hear your thoughts about those kind of things that are happening here within the bay. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla.
To the subject of the memorial reef balls, on the other subject about people having busts put underwater, that sounds like dumping to me. I mean, that's you can't just put stuff in the ocean and just be like, oh, that's just something we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I, that's the first I'm hearing about that. The memorial reef balls is an issue that's been affecting, I shouldn't say affecting because it hasn't happened yet and hopefully won't happen. It's an interesting project that they were trying to launch. They wanted to create these concrete spheres, basically like a concrete wiffle ball. The original plan was to mix in human cremation ashes to mm-hmm. the cement ball, put them in the bottom of Mauna Bay, and then create artificial reefs, and then study the effects of artificial reefs down there. The community, there was a fair amount of uproar because those reefs were, it was a tie-in with a for-profit organization. I think that really was the part that got everyone upset, understandably so, as a for-profit enterprise in the bay. And it's a little unusual to want to mix human remains with concrete and then create artificial reefs. Then they took away that element, and then they just want to put artificial reefs, but like put a like sponsorship, basically. If the community's coming out and saying, we don't want this, I don't think that it's I don't think that the community wants it, and I don't think it's right for it to be done. The will of the people is we don't want this project done. Now, the idea of creating artificial reefs is not a bad idea. We have it everywhere in Hawaii. If you have forget where I saw once. I went they have them out in Waikiki. They have mm-hmm. sunk boats safely, and then coral grows on it. And part of what they wanted to do with the artificial reefs was do coral research, which I think is valid. And they were looking for that as a revenue source. I think they went about it the wrong way, and that ruffled a lot of feathers. And it's hard to regain trust after you start something like this.
Well, the idea is bogus anyway, because we were supposed to be focusing on reducing commercial activities in the Mauna Loa Bay. That was the big preaching in the gospel at mm-hmm. one time. And we were all adhering to that, and we were going to reduce and study the existing commercial activities and try and reduce those impacts. And then now we turn the corner, and there is a sneaky way of going into it and saying, well, we want to study the coral reef. If you want to study the coral reef, you don't need busts, and you don't need cremated.
Yeah, all this other stuff is not necessary.
And that's a commercial endeavor. So,
right.
The underlying push is it's commercial. And so I observed, now I don't know where Gene Ward stand on this, and I wouldn't dare call him anymore because he just basically blows me off and won't even respond. So, again, what about that? Is it a commercial activity that's being masked as and presented as it's going to benefit the and study it? What do you mean you're going to study something?
You know, the goal was to have, I think the UH was looking for a public-private partnership kind of deal. That's my understanding of it. Mm-hmm. I was at a few of the community board meetings where this was first introduced, mm-hmm. and then followed the controversy as it continued. It looked like, I think from the from UH's side, I think there were good intentions, mm-hmm. that they wanted to do, they wanted to set up some of the coral reef balls in the bay, and then there's somebody else, somewhere else they wanted to set it up. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm incorrect about this. I was following along as best I could, that they wanted to set up separate places and then watch how the coral works over here, watch how the coral works over there, and research mm-hmm. how that develops. Mm-hmm. If it was just UH saying, we want to do this research project, I think that people would be more willing to listen about it because it offers a public good. Mm-hmm. As a commercial enterprise, I think once they heard that people are going to be paying a company to put them down there, what sort of cut they get and what cut the university gets wasn't discussed. If it was a nonprofit, if it was trying to do something for the good of the community, mm-hmm. I think they maybe had some more traction to it. But yeah. Again, as a for-profit enterprise, I'm not.
Well, as a legislator, okay. if you are successful, would you be amenable to looking at these kind, because there's a lot of backdooring through the Hawaii university system where mm. someone comes up with a commercial idea, and then here is UH willing and able lending itself to this. While it won't make much, but it circumvent the rules, it allows development of and when they say study coral, so does that mean once you take that action and permit this dumping of cremated remains, then what about a person that want to come through and says, I want to put up solar fans or wind turbines in that area, and I want to study how coral will grow on the tethering, the cables that attach to, you understand?
Sure,
so
sure.
It's cockamamie, you know.
This is why community involvement is so important.
Mm-hmm.
As a legislator, I say that running for state house, it's first and foremost my constituents in Hawaii Kai. Let's say that this project was being proposed for somewhere else, mm-hmm. a neighbor island, anywhere, mm-hmm. a different bay. The first thing I would do is the representative of that district, I would find out, well, what do your people want, first and foremost? Is that something that your district is interested in? From there, take a look at the project. And this is where, again, I think there's the best intentions of the university. And when you have public-private partnerships. You know, I went to the University of Arizona, and there were many very successful public-private partnerships, particularly in aerospace, particularly in biomedicine. That can be a benefit for the university, the students, the economy. There's a lot of great that can come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you fundamentally have to ask yourself, is this what the community wants? Is this the best use of tax dollars? And is this going to be are we creating public good?
Now, as a legislator, could you find yourself asking this basic question? Why are we turning to things to study something? Where are we failing in the actual management? We have the DLNR. Mm-hmm. We have the agencies set aside to be managing these resources. So what's this talk about rehabilitating things to see how it's steady? Can you, as a legislator, ask the bigger question, why is it broken? Why is it fouled? And I think that's what's escaping most of the people from my perspective, you know, because we got these quick Band-Aids, costly financial benefits
sure.
for private companies through UH and others.
Mm.
But no one's asking the question, why is the waters foul? Why is the coral missing? Why, you know, what can you, as a legislator, would you do?
You know, I have a personal philosophy that I've used since, you know, my first restaurant management job was when I was 24, and I've now been a restaurant manager for about 8 years now. And I've always, at some point, we always have someone we have to answer to. We've had a general manager, we have a boss, an area mm-hmm. director. Any decision I ever make, I ask myself this: can I justify this to my boss later? Can I then, any decision I make, why did I do it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to answer for it later. And I think that that's the type of perspective we should be taking with our government agencies, is you should never be afraid to answer the hard questions. If you did something, why did you do it? What was your thought process? What was the ultimate justification? A lot of times, it is, you know, best laid plans. You know, and it seemed like a good idea at the time.
And many of these projects are masked. Mm-hmm. They're really a for-profit effort and on the skirt tails of government entities that is lending itself to that. So that's, as a legislator, you know, would you give any... would you challenge it? Would you be willing to stand up? I mean, you've already...
Absolutely. I think that any project should stand on its own merits. And if they're trying to be deceptive about it, you know, a couple pretty direct questions should get to the bottom of it. You know, that's why I also believe in transparency in proceedings. You know,
so. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments and questions.
Yeah, I got a question concerning the power grid. You're talking about the power plants and whatnot. There was talk about it in the news, I guess, on the radio stations about...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part of the question.
About the power grid, you know...
The grid, okay.
Yeah. About a solar flare hitting the power grid, you know, the turbines and whatnot in the power plant, and causing them to melt, and they can't be restarted. The Europeans, I think, you believe it's England, is looking at probably putting a surge protector so when their power grid gets hit by the solar flare... it will protect it from malfunction, causing it to, turn off.
Mm-hmm.
And once that grid goes off, it's, what are you gonna do? You know, it's no power. You know, and this happened in South America. I think I heard them mention it on the radio station, nationwide radio station. And it took them a while to get the power grid back on. So, I think we should look at that situation at overall, nationwide as well as for Hawaii, since we're so dependent on these Hawaiian Electric and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If I understand your concern, it's that the more we put our put efforts into solar power, it does open us up to the potential of a solar flare. It knocks out energy, and then we have no power. While in the meantime, this is why having Hawaiian Electric, we'll always have Hawaiian Electric.
Right.
There will always be a demand for. Central energy that will go out in the event of solars now, where we could get a bunch of overcast days and we just have less energy, and we don't want brownouts. We're always going to have a need for that central power. Now, where we get that energy, there's a lot of different ways we can look at it. You know, battery technology is getting a lot better as a backup. You know, that's first. You know, the ultimate goal is to eventually wean ourselves completely off of fossil fuels. But, you know, there will be a period of time where we'll still continually be using oil, but we'll just be using less and less of it. And that, I think, is the incremental goal that we can look at, is that what's our oil imports today? How can we reduce that in 5 years? How can we reduce it in 10 years, until ultimately any oil that we do have is a backup emergency rather than something that we, you know, need to burn on a regular basis.
Okay.
Another concern that I want to bring up with you is the elderly.
Mm.
There was a bill called HB 600 that was introduced in 2015 for a community family care home for a couple that was separated for how many years? I think 2 years. One is private pay, which is the individual, and his wife was in another care home. But it couldn't be allowed for her to be with her husband because of Medicaid. That bill went to 2016. It didn't pass, so they had to go to federal court, get a lawyer, and sue the governor and Department of Human Services director and Department Health Director, and right now it's still in court, but the couple is reunited through an injunction by the federal judge.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But I can't understand why the legislature couldn't do anything for this couple.
Well, I might be a little rude in my response, but my observation is that you will never get any sensible ruling, and I think it was the wrong thing for them to deny that couple. But in a state where you as a legislator can hire your wife to be your manager at your office, they have no problem with that kind of things, and that speaks to transparency and nepotism and all, but you can't grow old with your spouse?
Yeah, you know.
That,
that's Carol, I challenge anyone to say that's what that's the platform they're running on, is I want to separate elderly couples.
But they do. The impact is still there, you know. And
it is, and that's the impact that the legislature has on people's lives. That's the end result.
But again, they have no qualms about problems with hiring their wife as an office manager, and you now have a family affair rather than a legislative affair.
And Carol, also their children too, you know, they work for them and whatnot.
Yeah. So I just find it, you know, rather troublesome when in just drawing parallels of common. But anyway, thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you. One of the things that that caught my eye is, quote, "I won't be just a no vote. I will work with others to reach common ground. I also want to be just another yes vote. I will fight for the issues that matter to our Hawaii Kai community." That's pretty powerful. And also, you're saying having a Democrat represent us will open more doors by giving us a seat at the table. Can you elaborate on what things are you not having a seat at the table on now in Hawaii Kai? And what would you bring? What are some of these issues?
You know, really, it's... I mean, I hate to say all the issues, but
darn it.
But that's really been Gene Ward. You know, it's no secret Gene Ward, as the chairman emeritus of the Republican Party legislator, he doesn't enamor himself to other legislators in terms of, we have an important bill, we have something that people are interested in. Can we work with this? Can we work with this legislator? That's not really his strong suit. When it comes to, I'm trying to think of a good example. I know that there was issues involving industrial hemp that he in committee voted no, I think, and eventually he voted yes with reservations as it went through, when it eventually passed unanimously. Correct me if I'm wrong on the bill. I think that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's a product that could be a new agricultural boom for Hawaii. It's mm-hmm. something that can grow great here. You can't get high off industrial hemp. You know, it could be a new export. When I think about how much we get shipped into Hawaii, and we're just shipping empty containers away from the islands, you know, very little leaves the island, just stuff comes in. What are ways that we can put something in those containers to send to the mainland? And that agriculture, it was historically Hawaii's biggest export. Now we can look at what are the new niche products that we can incorporate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just one example, you know, industrial hemp. There are many other, and I think this would be a better example of where I feel our district is alienated towards the rest of the legislature. As I mentioned, LGBTQ issues. In the last session, mm-hmm. there was legislation introduced. Two sessions ago, it was supported by all 7 members of the Republican caucus. This last session, I believe, was only 3. It was a bill similar to that that was passed in Indiana, North Carolina, which would allow businesses to openly discriminate against LGBTQ, the gay community. It would say that if we don't, no gays allowed bill, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
We saw what this did to Indiana. We saw what this happened to North Carolina with the NBA All-Star game pulled out. Do we really want that for the Hawaii tourism industry, to say that, yes, Hawaii is a state that will allow, quote-unquote, religious freedom?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see how this is going to help our tourism industry. I think it's valid to say that the tourism industry, we should look at diversifying it, particularly in ecotourism. I think that's a great way we can grow the tourism industry and protect the environment. But does it do us any justice to be, first off, to then get that reputation, we're now in the same boat as Indiana, North Carolina? And then secondly, why are we sending a legislator like Gene Ward, who is proposing legislation that won't get out of committee, it won't certainly not pass if it ever did get out of committee, and all it does is just further alienate our district from the rest of the legislature?
Well, one of the things that caught my eye with your comments on your, and that is, some people say, well, look what will happen. The basketball teams will pull out. Who gives a rat's butt about if the basketball team pull out? How about taking this and interpreting it that if you can discriminate against the LGBTQ, community, mm-hmm. then you can discriminate against black guys who have a radio show, mm-hmm. or you could discriminate against Hindu, or discriminate against Baptist, because precedent.
Oh, absolutely.
We are a nation of laws. So this is what, you know, I see everyone say, well, it's going to impact this and the financial, to heck with finances. Just, and as you pointed out, well, on your brochure, mm. civil rights. And that's the danger of having a Gene Ward or anybody, even the Democrats that sit on their thumbs and play games with these issues, because not all of them voted for the bill.
Sure.
When I say all Democrats. So, go ahead.
This may not be, I guess, the best political answer to give mm-hmm. to this, but honestly, the reason I like to use that phrasing is honestly a courtesy to Gene Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, he doesn't see it that way. Maybe he doesn't see the civil rights parallels to discriminating against one group of people, and I think it's a very... You know, after he's accused me of running a negative campaign, I've tried to be mindful and not use too harsh a language. Personally, yes, I think that this type of legislation is hurtful, and I do think it is discrimination, plain and simple, and it is a civil rights issue.
Well, let's go gravitate back to Gene Ward's arrival on the shores of Hawaii. What was his arrival here? In very theological or religious driven. Pat Robinson and others.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not some newfound strategy of his or his commitments to these things, LGBTQT. And so I applaud you for even taking on. And I'd like to ask, what are the other Democrats doing to support you? Are you getting any encouragement? Because
I've been amazing encouragement from many. I've met with District 18, Mark Hashem. He's the other half of Haione Valley. I've talked to him a few times. He's given me some advice on what people in our community care about, what some strategies. I've had many members of the Democratic Party out in Hawaii Kai, very supportive. A lot of great introductions. Mm-hmm. Like, here's a phone number. Call this legislator. Here's a number. Go meet with this guy. He'll give you some information. He'll help you set this up.
Mm-hmm.
This is. 6 months ago, I didn't have a campaign. I didn't even know I was running 6 months ago. So the support I've received has been amazing. And I've had some nice conversations on the phone with many sitting members of the legislature. Just talking to them about the realities of, listen, I know how hard it's going to be to run. I know I'm running up against a guy with, 20 years of name recognition and a pile of money. That's rough. But... I'm fighting to do this. If I was elected, what are the realities of what I could get done? And the overall consensus has been, firstly, we want to do business with a Democrat. Secondly, we know that your district is not like other districts, that you will have a Republican base and an independent base to answer to, but that still is going to give you more wiggle room than just representing the Republican minority.
Mm-hmm.
There will be my philosophy of having a seat at the table and being able to negotiate. They've pretty universally agreed. Well, yeah, of course you'd have a seat at the table. Of course you'd be able to bring these issues to heart. And yeah, there's room for compromise here because that's one more vote to get something done.
Now, your brochure, Colin Ross, quote, Colin Ross is not a career politician. I like that.
No, I'm a restaurant manager by trade.
He's a working father who wants to make sure your voice is heard at the State House. You're inviting people to use you as a conduit to speak on their behalf and represent them. That's a tall order, my friend, the way things... We tend to call up and we might get an answer or might get a phone call answered.
it's part of this is running for office, they say, just walk, knock on doors and meet the people.
Right.
And it doesn't hurt I went to Kaiser because it's, I just walk around Kaiser High School in the neighborhoods and say, hi, how you doing? A grad in 2001. It's like, oh, Ricky? Yeah, I know Ricky. And, you have those kind of conversations. But the things that people in Hawaii care about, it's interesting to me that as I go door to door, so many people have the same concerns. They're concerned mm-hmm. about development. They're concerned about their children being able, one, to get a good education that can let them go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then... will they come back to Hawaii? And that's another much larger subject. But the concern, and especially talking to people, I've had people you know, I've had a few Republican doors slammed in my face. I've also had some great conversations with Republicans who say that they just want some new blood in there. They just want, like, let's put some new faces in there and see what happens. We know what we're getting with Gene Ward. There's no question he'll get another 2 years. He'll introduce some bills that won't have much traction. And that's that. And Hawaii Kai just gets 2 years of the same.
Right.
We can try something new.
And I know that Gene Ward does not speak or represent all Republicans, because I know some fine people that are Republican.
Absolutely.
And not selfish and willing to lend themselves to extreme ideas. Hold on. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments and questions for Caller.
Is this me speaking right now?
That's you talking to me. Go ahead.
All right. That sounds good. So it sounds like Mr. Ross here, he definitely sounds like he's got a younger perspective on where the issues are headed. And I would just like to wonder, like, how far are his political goals, and how far does he think he can achieve? Because it sounds like that he could go pretty far, in my opinion, with just his values and the way things are. It's a new, fresher perspective, what he's saying.
That's very flattering. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, what are your longer term goals when it does come to your political game? Saying how you just got into this early, or more recently, you haven't had a lot of time to do this, but it sounds like you got a passion for this. Where, how far do you think you can go? What's your long term goals with let's look at winning?
You know, I'm only looking at my race. I'm looking at November 8th in my district. You know, my personal goals, I mean, like I said, I have a young family. I think I have the same goals everyone has. And right now I have a 2-year-old, and you know, keeping her well behaved enough to make it to kindergarten, I think, would be my first goal right now. You know, I don't think that far forward. I really don't. I'm just looking at this race. I'd be proud to represent Hawaii Kai. You know, I think it's very flattering. I'm coming off well off on the radio, and I hope people like my ideas, you know. But we'll see.
It's nice to hear, as a young guy, it's nice to hear another young guy.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay, caller, we're coming down to the last minute. Thank you, and maybe we'll have him on again, and I'll extend the courtesy to Gene Ward also.
I would be happy to appear with Gene Ward. He's declined all public appearances with me.
Well, we'll reach out before the weekend, and to be fair, you know.
Okay.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
All right, aloha. Caller, real quick, we have 2 minutes. Can you get a question in? And
Real fast. And I'm glad a young person is running with that's just part of the populace, you know, not somebody with high fluting. You know. Anyway, give me articulate what you would do for the homeless in the state of Hawaii. It's one of the biggest political issues that needs to be solved.
Sure.
So I'd like to hear what you have to say, and I'll listen off the air.
Oh, wonderful. You know, homelessness, of course, is, you know, one of the top issues going on at every race going on in the state right now, and I think will continue to be an issue in Hawaii probably, you know, for the foreseeable future. You know, we can look at other cities' models, particularly Salt Lake City. They've instituted Housing First. It's a way to get people off the streets. First and foremost, we have to remember, you know, these are human beings. These are people.
Right.
You know, homelessness is not one. There's not one type of homeless person. You know, we have people who have reached economic stress. We have mental illness issues. We have people who want to relocate, and we have people who don't. And we need to be able to, first and foremost, figure out what the root cause of their homeless situation is. And secondly, with a Housing First option, and we're not talking luxury apartments here. We're talking, you know, we're talking a roof and a meal.
Mm-hmm.
We can then figure out what's the best way to help these people and get them off the streets and reacclimate them to society.
Right.
Well, it's also talking about children too. And I think that anything we can do to keep those kids in school, and any bills and measures that would keep kids educated and keep them fed while their family goes through a housing crisis, I would absolutely look at and support.
Right. Well, Colin Ross, thank you for dropping in with us. And last minute notice, I reached out to you. And I will apologize. It was just a joke when you said you're at work, and I remarked, you mean a politician actually working?
that's the thing. I campaign with every free minute I have, but I have a career. I have a family.
Well, thank you so much, and you're welcome to come back, and we'll reach out to Gene Ward. And if you're willing, before the election, we'll try to get you back on.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
All righty.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you. Colin Ross, he is running for State House, District 17, Hawaii Kai. This will be posted up on carolcox.com in the next 30 minutes, so feel free to go there and download and re-listen. And, Colin, how do they get in touch with you real quick?
You can find me on Facebook, Friends of Carlin Ross, K-A-R-L-E-N-R-O-S-S, Ross District 17, CarlinRoss.com, or you probably see me if you're walking around Hawaii Kai every day for the next couple of weeks.
And what's a phone number for you that people can access? Maybe they want to participate in your campaign or whatever.
Sure. Best way you could reach me would be, I just changed campaign numbers.
Okay.
Sorry. Email's probably the fastest way to reach me.
All right. So many of us, the hardworking people, some don't have email, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, many of the active people, they just don't.
It's the best way I've been able to communicate. I'm on Facebook too. If you don't have email, but you got the Facebook.
Thank you for joining me, and I will talk to you again.
Oh, thank you.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu K108.
But I'll find it somewhere, somehow. I've got to let him know how much I care. I'll never give up looking for my baby.
Been around the world and I can't find my baby. I don't know when, I don't know why he's gone away, and I don't know where he can be, my baby. But I'm gonna find him. We had a quarrel and I let myself go. I said so many things he didn't know, and I was so bad. I don't think he's coming back. Mm-hmm. He gave the reasons he should go, and he said things he hadn't said before, and he was so mad. And I don't think he's coming back. I did too much lying, wasted too much time. Now I'm here and crying. I've been around the world and I can't find my baby. I don't know when, I don't know why he's gone away, and I don't know where he can be, my baby. But I'm gonna find him. He never did me wrong. I was the one, the weakest one ever. And now I'm so sad. I don't think he's coming back. I did too much lying, wasted too much time. Now I'm here and crying. Been around the world and
it's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. I'm glad to be back with you. And again, you can catch all of this at carolcox.com. And if you have any questions, in the next hour, I'm going to have a portion of the hour. I don't know how long we'll go with Dr. Keone Dudley, and we're going to be talking about it. It's relating to rail and what have you, and some concerns he has with a resolution that is introduced by one of the legislators regarding rail. And I just thought we would give some time to that subject. I mean, as far as I'm concerned personally, I think in a real responsible society, many of these people, their careers would have been derailed, if I could borrow a term from the rail. They would be out on their noses and on their asses and gone. But here in the state of Hawaii, we just, once we give money to the legislators and give them the power, they just screw us royally. So that's just the way it is. And I wish I had a more pleasant way to describe it, but you know, you get that nasty feeling. So anyway, real quickly before we go on, and now out in Waianae, you know, there's the issue with the seizure of animals from the, quote, illegal activity that was going on out there, and they've charged a man with second-degree animal abuse. So here are some of my questions that I have, and we're going to talk extensively about it maybe next week. I'm looking into this. Has the same resemblance that we saw with the Bonnie Payne Animal Haven out there in Waianae, where she was running a hospice for animals and she passed, and then they tried to move in and prosecute the husband, who in turn was set up. They came in with fake badges. The police department participated in it. The people came from out of state wearing fake badges presenting, and then they told them don't clean up the facility because that would make it better for them, and they then began to film and show fecal matter and what have you. So there are some similarities in this manner. And my question to the Humane Society and to the city and county and the police department, how does one justify taking such extreme measures now? You have a Humane Society that's open, and you just built a $7 million. Why aren't the people bringing the animals to your facility? You are the contract hire for animal control and animal welfare in the state, in the city and county of Honolulu. So how is it that they won't come to you, or you, your facility won't harbor or provide refuge for these animals or treat them, yet you get to get the newspaper, which is, I believe, is just as at fault of spreading your propaganda, and then in turn they just write a story telling us about the animals were abused and this and that and ill and sick. And my question is, if you are the Humane Society in the city county of Honolulu and you're giving millions to them for animal control and animal welfare, how is it that a person could collect under their watch during that time 200 plus animals? Just a few thoughts, and we're going to be getting there. And then I read in the paper where it said that we don't want to, we don't want you to take pictures. You can't videotape us here with the raid, and you can't clean up. And you get there early so that you can get pictures of the animal, the fecal matter, quite similar to the Bonnie Payne matter. But anyway, having said all that, I am concerned, and I believe that the gentleman giving life to an animal and giving him care is not a reason to charge someone with second-degree animal inhumane treatment. So we'll be looking at it, and thank you for listening. So I'm going to bring on Dr. Keone Dudley, and we're going to have a talk about the rail, da rail. Good morning, Dr.
Me, Carol.
Yes, there you go. Now we have a little clicker here. So go ahead. How are you today?
Okay. I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Sorry for the delay there, but you know, animals take precedent.
Well, you know, I was panicking. I was trying for about 10 minutes to get my phone to connect to my car so I could talk to you.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think we're doing fine. Am I loud enough?
Oh, you're loud and clear, and so go ahead. What is going on here with this There's a testifying, you're requesting people testify on a matter and surcharge extension. Let's talk about that real quickly, and then we can go into the rest of the other issues or relating to this.
Well, the city council is having a meeting on Wednesday, and they're going to be taking up four different issues. And I got a message from Natalie Iwasa, who lives out there in Waikai, and she's really active in the rail and been very active following the city council, and she sends material around whenever there's something that we need to be alerted about. And city council has four resolutions it's going to be considering, and all of them, in my book, are bad.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is a resolution 16238, which asks the legislature to extend the surcharge. This one says, you know, it's going to be an equitable and fair way of funding the rail project, with low-income residents being able to file for tax credits. Well, you know, not everybody is making enough money to even pay income tax, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is, too, that, you know, do we just want this thing to go on forever and ever and ever?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we really need to put a halt to the extension of the surtax? And, Carol, you know, I've done an awful lot of research into city council members, their donations and so forth. And they just, number one, should not be voting about the rail without disclosing the super PACs that they've given them money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a majority of them have received money from super PACs that are pushing this extension of the rail surcharge. And they don't declare it. Now, the city council doesn't have an obligation to declare ordinary income from campaign contributions, but it doesn't say anything about super PACs at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're voting without declaring the super PAC contribution, it's invalid. And I got a case before the Ethics Commission right now to invalidate their last vote. And it's just nuts that they should continue going on voting when they know darn good and well that the revised charter for Honolulu says in chapter 11.1 that they've got to declare this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing it. And it also says that if they don't make the declaration, their vote is invalid.
So, given that it's like the fox watching the fox, speaking of the Ethics Commission and how they've come out speaking on other issues, jumping to conclusions with this new member that they have about the chief of police and demanding that he cough up or speak on matters that he's being investigated on, how optimistic are you that this, quote, Ethics Commission is going to give you a fair hearing or give this whole issue a fair shake?
I just don't know. I think that they've got a new attorney there that is really pushing things in the right way, like Chuck Tato did. And I think there are possibilities. They've at least contacted me about one of my cases coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this particular case, but it's another one that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got the same treatment. They did contact me on my complaints against the mayor using the city hall for campaigning, and they contacted me, and they gave me a long conversation and all, and then later turned around and said it's okay to perform political activities, campaign activities on the city hall property. Yet, for people that were speaking out on homeless, they argued that they needed a permit to stand there and speak out about homeless matters. So I'm a bit confused as to what the...
You know, it's all so crooked. It's all so crooked. Did you read the Morning Thing Volcanic Ash? He's talking about the term limits, you know, and this new city charter amendment that's supposed to extend term limits by 4 years. And he's saying, you know, they're all crooks. We got to get rid of them. The only hope of getting rid is when one of them winds up at term limit, you know, then you get somebody new possibly in there if somebody from the legislature doesn't jump in.
Well, yeah, term limits sounds good, but you see how it would have to speak specifically to once you hold an office, term limits prevent you from going to another office, like Romney Cocciola, that swing they did with Manahan and Cocciola.
Yeah.
You see, if we had term limits, would that prevent them from playing the game? You know, okay, I'll give up my seat as city councilman, and I'll run for your seat as representative, and you run for my seat, and I'll bring my votes to you, and vice versa.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, it's got to take that extra step if it's going to be meaningful at all.
Yeah. So, you don't know sometimes if you're sitting in a pub or just having a drink with friends in this town. You really can't put your finger on anything. It's in this rail matter. I'm curious. Maybe you can. Elefante, he introduced a resolution.
Yeah.
And so the question is, he's a young guy on the scene. How did he develop such an interest and so in depth and all? Where does he draw his knowledge from to be requesting all of this? Or is he just somebody hired gun?
I think he's a hired gun. He's a nice guy. I knew him as a student at IEA High School. We're on really friendly terms, but he was an assistant to Breen Harimoto when Breen was on the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of bought everything that Breen wanted. And then he raised $13,000 for his campaign to run and wound up with $130,000. Because the unions all jumped in behind them.
Mm-hmm.
PRP put 105,000 behind them and super PAC fund. I mean, nice kid, but how can you expect them to do anything when there's that much money floating around and he's got obligations.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of a racetrack. You've got a foal standing in the pen just to watch the races, and all of a sudden he shows a desire to run, and all the money is bet on him. I'm lost as to, and I don't want to steal anything away from his intellect, but I very seriously doubt that he could be informed enough to introduce a bill as such as this. And so elaborate in a resolution such as this to talk about finances and all. I think, once again, we're being duped via this Elefante. And so you're asking people to go down on Wednesday, is it? Give us the correct date and location of what it is that you're suggesting.
Yeah, it's going to be City Hall, and it's going to be Wednesday. And if you got time, let's talk a little bit about the other resolutions, too.
Go ahead.
The next one is Resolution 16248, and it reaffirms the council's support to complete rail to Ala Moana Shopping Center and to eventually extend it to West Kapolei and extend it to University of Hawaii Manoa. in my book, there is nothing more criminal than building the rail from downtown Honolulu to Ala Moana, knowing full well that the last five stations are all going to be underwater in 40 years, and Ala Moana is going to be underwater in 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how on earth can anybody in right conscience, with any honesty whatsoever, be building a rail through that kind of situation?
Now, you know that this is Honolulu, and so things that they promise 40, we end up usually getting 10 years, so it may collapse by 12 years. So you're worried about it flooding? This is Honolulu now. I mean, it's not like, as they say, what do they call it, the state-of-the-art cities, or that was in the other resolution they talked about. But that's 16248, and it'll be heard on Wednesday.
Yeah, I want to tell you a story about Grabowskis. I mean, you know, you were saying that Grabowskis just is, he was really, really a case. I talked to him maybe about 2 years ago and showed him the pictures and said, you know, all these last stations are all going to be underwater. Why on earth are you building this rail through the water? And he said, well, all of the electricity is going to be up on top. And I said, well, that's fine, but, you know, in order to get to the stations, you can only get there by boat. And he chuckled. He says, oh, I never thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
In the conversation, you know, I mean, what a crook. How did that guy ever just walk away without going to jail?
Well, that's a good question, and it suggests that he must have had other people that were complicit in this this whole process or this scheme. And who are they? We can start looking first at the city council. We can start looking at the legislators. We can start looking at nonprofit groups that were out there going to bring us jobs. And where are they now? Right? All of those people that talked about jobs and unions and all, and where are they at? I mean, do they have any disgust with this whole process? I mean, if the union found itself operating like this, they'd be in deep, hot water, right? So a rail could be mismanagement, the construction of it can be mismanaged, and they're still waiting around for the pinata to bust open and the candy fall out.
That's right.
They're sitting there hoping. Hold on 1 second. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I got a real important call. This guy must be a nutcase. All the rail stations are going to be underwater in 40 years. Does that mean all those condos they're building in Kaka'ako and those luxury condos along Ala'moana Boulevard, they're going to be underwater, or... where does he get this baloney from? Is he the guy that was against building the Alun Farms, building houses on that area below where he lives? All I see that going on at Alun Farms, I see tons of pumpkins being harvested. We want to use that valuable land there to grow pumpkins and watermelon when we can put houses for the people. So I don't know. This guy's a nutcase.
Now let me figure this out. Halloween is not here yet, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to figure out which costume I give you, Ed.
But
hold on. Let him answer.
There was a nutcase who called in talk about the future catastrophe.
Well, hold on. He's on the
future of the world and the catastrophic events. And I've been losing a lot of sleep lately because in 5,000 years, Waikiki will be 10 feet underwater. And, you know, it really worries me.
Well, probably your birthday and my birthday next week. But hold on, Ed. Hold on.
This guy Dudley, he's a dud. So.
Well, hold on. We don't want to get personal like that. But he's on the end of the line. You want to respond to that, County?
No, I am the nutcase. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I think this is Ed that I know, and that it's a joke. But at any rate, yeah, I'm the nutcase who is saying, you know, that all those buildings that they're building down there are going to be underwater. And nobody is doing anything about it at all, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I have a really good friend who's working on one of the buildings. It's a luxury building. They're going to have two penthouses on the top floor, and each of those is going to go for $30 million. And the cheapest price for any apartment in a building is $3 or $4 million. And, you know, it just blows me away that we're selling buildings like that to such rich people who don't live here, and we're not providing for the future. You know, that building is going to be standing up in the middle of mud, mud for a mile in each direction once the water breaks through the ground, along with all those other buildings. The rich people are going to move away. The buildings are going to be darkened and shuttered. They're going to be sticking up out of the mud for centuries yet to come because we won't have the money to tear them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the first place, I wonder if they're allowing, if they're telling the people who are going to buy the places that it's going to be in the middle of the swamp in 40 years. I wonder if they're protecting the city. I mean, how can the city allow people to buy places like that without insisting that there be a clause that they know what they're getting into? The other thing is, we should have an escrow account for every single apartment that is built down there, where they pay into the escrow account for the next 40 years, so that we have the money at that time to tear the buildings down, clean the place up again.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii is going to be just a disaster in 100 years. You know, yeah. The only people stuck here are going to be the people who can't afford to move away.
Yeah. Hold on one second. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, thank you. Much to say, but I would like to hear resolutions 3 and 4, maybe call back if time. Thank you very much.
3 and 4? What?
Okay, there are 4 resolutions altogether.
Right.
Okay, and so the 3 and 4, let me just grab my paper if I can get it for the phone.
Yeah, even though that sounds so fancy and all that, you know, call us when you call. I'm not that astute to most of this lingo, so we're not trying to put on a show here. Give me a break and stick with me here. Hang on the phone and... 3 and 4. So you have 3 and 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 3 is Resolution 16-255,
okay.
And it's to form a permitted action group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means that they can get together less than a majority of the city council and talk among themselves and investigate. And so this permitted action group is to investigate funding options for the Honolulu High Capacity Transit Corridor project with state, city, and federal officials. So it's going to allow them to go and try to find money from the state, the city, and the federal officials to extend this thing on to Ala Moana and the university in West Kapolei.
So is that...
Go ahead.
Is that good or bad? I mean, when we form in this committee or this group, action group, what's the composition? All city council members?
No, it's less than a majority. So if there are 9 people, there can be 4 on this permitted action group.
So, but where are they? Are they citizens involved, or is it just a city council? When you say less than...
They may bring citizens in, but they don't have to.
So, in other words, I'm just trying to sort through this, make sense of it. So the people that have already started off going to San Francisco and Washington and looking at a hole and looking at rail, and now we're in this quagmire of cost and overruns and what have you, we're going to now create a permitted action group so they can go study some more?
Not only study, though, this is a permitted action group to go and try to find money. So they're going to be going to the state to find money. They're going to be going to the federal government to try to find money. And they're going to be looking through city government to see where they can find money for the rail.
And so you're suggesting then, or what are you suggesting, that we not support this bill or we support it?
That we not support it.
Okay, that's...
And the reason for that is it's a permitted action group can be it's a secret group. You know, they don't have to tell anybody what they're doing. They just move ahead and do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we're going to continue building, it's not necessarily a bad thing trying to get it to Ala Park or get it to downtown Honolulu. So, you know, this one maybe is something that we don't want to come down on too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But the next one is worse. It's going to establish a council position regarding the extension of the county surcharge on the state general excise and use tax, and establishing a permitted action group to present, discuss, and negotiate the position with state officials. What they're saying there is, in the resolution, they're going to say, we're going on to Alawana, we're going on to East Kapolei, and or West Kapolei, and to UH Manoa. And we're also, after establishing that position, we're going to now go to the, we're going to have a permitted interaction group, which is going to be secret, and they're going to present our resolution saying we're going to do all of this with the rail. We're going to discuss it, and we're going to negotiate the position with state officials.
And who is
promoting? All of that is secret, huh?
Who is promoting this? Who's advancing it or introduced this bill?
I don't have that. I'm sorry, I didn't bring that with me.
Okay, I see some hand scribble here, but you can't tell who it is.
Yeah.
it sounds like more of the same. I mean, imagine, what would you call a situation where people start up a rail and they lie to the people to get the rail? Then most people say they don't want the rail, but we got the rail anyway, and then had no net loss on agricultural land, and then we have a loss on agricultural land because we built through there. And we see all of these shortcomings and missteps, and then we have a congresswoman who steps down from Congress or whatever she did, and then in turn goes into nowhere and comes back as an advisor for the heart, and the heart is dysfunctional, and then they get rid of the chief, and could we probably get closer to concluding that this is just a corrupt effort? And I haven't even laid out all of the missteps, or intentional or unintentional.
Well, Carol, that would presume that there were corrupt people around. And, you know, that's kind of pointing at the city council. Goodness gracious, you don't want to say that there's corruption on the city council now, do you?
No, not I. Hold on one second. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Oh, I just want to apologize to Dudley for calling him a nutcase. I normally don't call people names. I just got excited when he said Waikiki, but that area could be underwater in 40 years.
Yeah, no, I
apologize, sir. I don't generally call people names.
All righty, well, thank you, Ed. All righty. All right, caller, go ahead with your comment or question. Hello.
Is Dr. Dudley?
Yes.
Is he an investor? Is he a?
I'm lost with you. You're breaking up or something. There's something wrong with your comments.
Well, I just got $10,000 from my.
Okay, try and call back because it's illogical. I can't understand anything other than hear you briefly. So try calling back. Maybe we'll get a clear line. Dr. Dudley, go ahead with your, now that he apologizes for you being a nutcase.
Okay. I just want to tell anybody who is not aware that the University of Hawaii, SOAS, that's the School of Oceanic Energy and on and on and on, okay? So if one of their leaders is Chip, what is Chip's last name? I can't say Chip and Colia.
Mm-hmm.
Chip Fletcher, okay? Professor Chip Fletcher and Colia, I can't remember his last name, but they did this tremendous amount of study going to the area close to the ocean in the Ala Moana district, the Mo'ili'ili district, and Kaka'ako, and also Waikiki. And their maps are available on SOES by just going looking up SOEST MIT on the internet,
mm-hmm.
the University of Hawaii School, okay? And what they found was about a mile inland, the water table is only a foot and a half below the surface for a whole mile inland.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found further is that the fresh water at the water table is floating on seawater.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by water table is if you go and dig a hole down so deep in many places, you're going to find that after a while you come back, it's filled with water down to a certain level. Huh? That's the water table. Now,
yeah.
That water in that hole is sitting on ocean water.
Mm-hmm.
And as the ocean rises, all of this other water is going to push up through the ground in Mo'ili'ili, Waikiki, Ala Moana, and Kaka'ako.
Mm-hmm.
And all around the island, the same thing is happening. They've now found the same thing over in Eba. They're working in Kaneohe, Kailua. For a mile or so inland, as soon as the sea gains 3 feet, the water is going to break through the ground, and the higher the ocean rises, the higher comes that fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere that water can go, and so that water is going to form a huge swampland around the island. Nanakuli, Ma'ili, Waianae, just everywhere the water is going to be breaking through, and nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Now, where those buildings are down in Kaka'ako and so forth, you know, as it breaks through, it's going to bring the mud, and all that place is going to turn into swamp because there's just no place for the water to get out.
Right.
And we're stuck.
Yeah.
America is not going to come to our rescue because they've got thousands upon thousands of miles with major, major cities that are going to be underwater.
Yeah.
And, they've got to fight their own battles. We're going to be on our own, and we just won't be able to do anything to take care of the problem. We're going to be sitting with these empty, derelict buildings digging up through the mud for centuries to come.
Yeah, hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
I guess I wish they would just start downsizing instead of keep, you know, destroying the little bit of what we have left.
Mm-hmm.
I also was looking at those charters about they're wanting to build they're wanting to form a conservation group. And that sounds like another dubious plan to me. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Okay. And I agree with you on that one.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
so,
that sounds really sketchy to me, like they're just going to have somebody, another one of those groups that do whatever they want. Now they don't have to go through other channels.
But what does this say, this whole strategy, guys, what does this say about the mindset of the people? I mean, we say we own the government and we've bind to that, and we are part of the government. We want good government, but we've gotten more examples here in Honolulu than we need to show that this is a corrupt system. And why are we pissing and moaning? Or why are we taking action? Why is it that the Keone Dudleys, the Carol Coxes, and people like yourself, caller, speaking out? Where's the rest of these people? Are they so busy and preoccupied with trying to get food in their mouth or pay for their new car? What's happening?
I think that's a lot of it. I think the people are just so busy. You know, Carol, you live on the west side. I live on the west side. Our people fight the traffic going into town. They fight the traffic coming home. They never see their families. They just, you know, the little time they have, they don't want to dedicate that to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
The only hope is the retirees, you know. We got to get the gray-haired people to start really rising up. I mean, they're the people with the time.
Or as one caller said, we got to get the nutcases, like the Coxes and the Dudleys, to get out there who constantly try to fight this and bring back and then got to argue with people to say, to demonstrate. Global warming is a reality. If you don't believe it, look at some of the island nations that are being impacted. So if their land is being lost to the encroachment of the ocean, then guess what? Our shores are in the same Pacific Ocean, right? So it's realistic. And so if the water table, which is factual, is shallow, that means the water that comes over in the form of waves and what have you, or sea waves, are not going to percolate on the ground because of water that's already saturated. So where is it going to go? And Honolulu, around those areas you're speaking of, were already naturally wetlands.
Yep.
And were filled. So it's it's not a misstatement. Let's hold on. Caller, thank you for.
Thank you very much for taking my call, starting with your last. Hello?
Hold on.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Dr. Dudley, did I lose you there?
Yes, sir. I'm back.
Okay. And callers, I apologize. Let me see if we can get this. We're having a caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Go ahead with your question. Go ahead with your question. A comment.
That's starting with the last on the PIG permitted action groups. If it's three or four members of any group, like the Hardcore Charter Commission, who picks them? And when they go to Washington or San Francisco, there is a vested interest in who goes there. In terms of the city council, it eventually has to go probably to Ann Kobayashi, who is budget chair. She's voted against any job no obligation bond. In terms of your other resolutions from a private citizen, no, absolutely not, for many, many different reasons. In terms of the Heart Board, Bunda left, Corner left, Quam left, they all jumped ship, and now Hanabusa will leave. The Elefante has had many, many disclosures, opposed, different from Mr. Garcia, who did not disclose. Elefante does disclose. He'll disclose 8 conflict of interest in one issue. And in terms of the surcharge extension, if you don't earn an income tax, what credit is this going to give to you? It's the same thing that happens at the national level. Some people don't earn enough to get this credit. And if you want to do this, then give the people money instead of an earned income. Thank you so very much. Bless you and both of you for giving us an opportunity to take part in the democratic process.
Okay, thank you, caller. Dr. Dudley, go ahead.
I did. Thank you. That's great. A great summary. It sounded like Mr. Conti. Let me go back for a second, though, to what that lady was saying about the new environmental oversight committee that she said the charter is going to establish. You know, we've got the Land Use Commission, and for decades now, we've seen how the governor can put people in the Land Use Commission that are all developers. And then the Land Use Commission, which is supposed to hold on to the land, is used as the reason why everybody has to move ahead, is because the Land Use Commission said that's a good idea, let's do it. You know, it's just, I agree, you know, another environmental protection committee is just one more committee that you can stuff full of people who are going to do everything they can to destroy the environment. And then you can use the authority of that committee to move legislation ahead because they said it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm concerned and leery of more. It's just a layering of protection and insulation and a means of keeping the people, a group that's going to have privacy and they're going to meet in private. That's just taking away from the transparency. Why not have all of this open? And Hart, remember, they went behind closed doors, and then Colleen Hanabusa, who's now running for Congresswoman. This is why we need good Republicans to not worry about who's sleeping with who, but get back into government and put a stop to this nonsense. You wouldn't find this on the streets of any responsible state or city other than Honolulu. We got things here that are just clearly corrupt. And we have no means. Can we get a few good Republicans out there to just say the hell with it, and we're going to run on issues and put these people back in their places?
Or any other party, you know,
well,
any other party.
What I'm just saying, it could be any other party, but damn it, let's get moving. I mean, I'm sick and tired of hearing all this corruption, and then we got to sit back and hold our hands and go, well, okay. You know, it's scary, and I'm thinking, what about the seniors who are going to end up taking the brunt of this because they have property, right? And alternative funding sources, so that just means taxes.
Yep.
Or were the taxes ruled out, property taxes ruled out? Did they say we're alternative, but we're not going to look at property taxes?
Well, they talk about the city, so I guess that means property taxes.
Yeah, and I'm horrified at the fact that what homeowners will end up bearing the brunt of this thing and of this secret, this sophisticated layering of new approaches. That's scary.
You know, I want to come back to the thing that you were saying about get some Republicans. This is the time now, huh? We've got just a couple more weeks. Every opportunity everybody in the islands has to vote for somebody new, no matter who the person is they're voting against, they should vote for somebody new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the truth of the matter is that as soon as people put their name in, the unions and the developers look around and find who thinks like they do, who wants to have pave over the islands. And then they get behind them, and those campaigns get flyers to your door that look pretty, and they get people calling you, and there's organization behind the people. We need to look at people that don't have that organization, you know? We need to look at people like M.Y. and I, Mark Pa'aluhi, look down there in Eva, that Brian Jeremiah. I mean, these are young people who are, they've got a different stance. You know,
or the Cedric Gates.
Cedric,
let's not be partisan now. If we're going to fix, don't name all the Republicans. Let's be wise about this and include all smart people.
I think that Cedric is a really nice guy, but I think he's a little bit more pro-development than I like.
Well, yeah, but we'll take another show for that and talk about that. But for right now, we're talking about corruption and Paula Hui and Brian Jeremiah and Favela. Let's face it, they haven't given a complete sentence as to what their platforms and policies are other than being critical of the other folks. So we'll leave that out of the conversation for right now. But none of them impress me. None of them, to say that they will arrive and be independent. Those, that group of people, I think what they're doing, they're preying on the issues of this, the small, simple issues, but the complex issues, they haven't thought them out. And that's where we'll fail. So go ahead.
Okay, well, okay, but, you know, we've got an awful lot of dummies in the legislature. I mean, you don't have to be the most brilliant light in town in order to get into the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree about the Pa'aluhi and Brian Jeremiah. I've talked to those guys.
Brian Jeremiah on my show. I've no favela. I know. I've looked at them, but this is not the occasion here. See, this is what I'm saying is that there are some people that out there will not politicize issues and think through them and come up with solutions. These folks haven't shown me anything of a complex sentence or a thought politically. I just got to be very honest with you. Yeah, it's easy to go out and put your name on a banner and stand on the street corner and say, vote for me, because they're not doing what's right. I mean, what have they shown, demonstrated, that they can do and will do? What have they done? But anyway, we're getting off subject with as far as the other issues.
Okay.
Carla, go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you. Very quickly, today's newspaper ethics panel seeks public input on how best to achieve goals. State Ethics Commission is asking the public to share ideas on how it can best promote integrity in government. And there's going to be a meeting Thursday, 10 a.m., at the American Savings Bank Tower, Bishop Street, to discuss this, and just as a public information. Thank you very, very
right.
much to
Thank
both
you.
Of you for your program.
Thank you. Dr. Bentley, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to, I do want to say that, you know, that's a great idea, and I think that's a place to go and really to express ideas. I also wanted to come back to the idea that the city council meeting is on Wednesday, because we haven't mentioned that for several minutes now, and people might have tuned in late. And what we've been talking about is really these resolutions that are going to be before the city council that are going to just push rail right on through. And we need to stand up against those on Wednesday. We need people to come down and take a stand. We need, and you know, we've gone down there with 50 people, and it doesn't make a difference. We need 200.
yeah, and we need thousands of people to say, no, we can't tolerate this anymore. It's intolerable. It's something terribly wrong. I don't know what it is, but you know, secret groups now and permitted action groups, the pigs, and yeah, they're going to wallow in the taxpayer's slop again. That's basically what it is, right?
That's right.
Carla, go ahead with your comment or question.
Oh, I might have to take back an apology for me. since he's calling people in the legislature dummies, I think that's not the right. The people in the legislature majority are products of the local school system. But anyway, thank you.
All right. Dr. Dudley, go ahead.
Oh, I do think that there are some people in the legislature who are just not the brightest lights around. And, they get along. And the problem is that once they get in, they're not strong enough and bright enough to really stand on their own two feet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm so fed up with government.
Well, you know, before we go, we don't have any time left, but arrange something and bring in Brian Jeremiah. He's been on the show before, and he ran Kurt Favela and those folks. But I, you know, bring them in and let's hear what they got to say, but not what someone tell them to say. Let's see what they think and what they're going to do, what solutions they bring to the table. You know, just
okay.
Vote for me because I'm Republican, because the other guy ain't doing it right, you know, or I'm running against this sparrow because this sparrow, Paula Hood, I'm running because, you know, what has he done? He has union ties too, right?
Yeah.
So let's be open and transparent about when we promote these people and ask the real question. If you and I are sincere about fixing this problem, we won't wed ourselves with individuals just because they decide there's an open puka and they're going to run and we're going to support them. That's not good grounds for support.
Good. Let me tell you that Mark Paoluhi was on a program called Think Tech a week ago. I was supposed to be there, and something emergency happened. I couldn't show up, but I watched the show, and man, I was impressed. I think he thinks like I do in an awful lot of things.
Yeah, well, you know, depending on who's asking the questions, what they're asking. I mean, let's just face it. Let's invite them on, and we'll see, and we'll ask some serious questions. What do they think about the LGBTQT? How much religion are they going to bring to the table? And all of those things, and how can they stay out of private lives and what have you, and respecting public citizens and their rights and their civil rights, not their religious rights. You know, all of that comes along with that, right? So
yeah.
So when we promote these guys and hang their banners up, let's we owe it to the public not to be promoting people that have these that want to intervene in their personal lives. So that's my greatest fear with that group of people that you named.
Okay,
but let's do it again, and we're out of time, and we'll be back next week. But let's talk and before the election, have them on. All right.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you so much. Aloha.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu. Folks need